I have to confess, my last sermon in San Jose, I didn't bring my timepiece. 20 minutes overtime. I got carried away. These days we're celebrating are very profound. They're filled with meaning and personal impact. I mean, you can't look at the Passover and the days of unleavened bread without having some impact on the mind. And we review those meanings, and we're moved, and our personal perspective has changed. We look at the Passover and the sacrifice Jesus Christ made, and we can dwell on the love that God had for all mankind. Looking at from the creation, knowing that the sacrifice was going to be made, otherwise mankind was doomed. We look at the sacrifice Jesus Christ made, and we can see the forgiveness of our sins. We could look at the Passover and read through the passages and read through Isaiah, and we could see the depth of the world hates Christ and his message. We look at the days of unleavened bread and how we put sin out of our lives, leavening out of our lives before the days of unleavened bread, and how during the days of unleavened bread, we walk a path where we stay away from those things which lead us back to sin. We look at the days of unleavened bread and we can see where God is faithful in fulfilling his promises. We can focus on living a sinless life as we look at days of unleavened bread. It's an action and awareness that we are given during these days. We could all but stop there and call it a day. I'd just say, think on those things and I could sit down. Some of you may like that. I'm not going to. The event of the Passover leads us to the greatest event in history. The greatest event in history. And it happened during the days of unleavened bread. There is an incredible meaning for us today. I want to start in 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians 5 and beginning in verse 7. Therefore, one of my favorite words reading the Bible. Therefore, behold, so that, therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump. Well, most of the time I am a lump. But I want to be a new lump. Since you truly are unleavened, these are during the days of unleavened bread. Paul was noting, you're already unleavened because it's the days of unleavened bread. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. The sacrificial lamb, Jesus Christ, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leavening, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And we'll cover that on the last day. Sincerity and truth. There is a process. So God doesn't want us to live our lives in the normal way. Be a new lump. Live our lives unleavened. Putting away the leavening of malice and wickedness. And the unleavened, and live with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. There's a change that we have to go through. The sacrificial life, Jesus Christ was sacrificed on our behalf. We're reminded of that. Then we're challenged to put out the old man, to change our lives, and to live with sincerity and truth. God gave Jesus Christ as our sacrifice so that we could live. Now, throughout time, there have been many defining moments. I said, during unleavened bread, there was the greatest. There's world-altering events that have taken place. Now, some may say the invention of the wheel, and certainly it did change all the world. Think about it. If we didn't have a wheel, well, we wouldn't be here. Unless we lived very close and had a horse. And I don't like horses. I won't go into that. Electricity changed the world. We had lights. We had now lights where the workday could stop at the end of the day when sun went down. Now people work 24/7. Electricity and lights. The Industrial Revolution changed the world. Flight, Kitty Hawk, changed the world. We now travel. It's nothing for me to think about going to Cincinnati in two weeks. I would have left a month ago, maybe more. Flight changed the world. The integrated circuit changed everything. Everyone, you've got a cell phone, integrated circuit. You got TVs, you got integrated circuit. You got radios, the integrated circuit. Changed the world. But I want to narrow it down to these days that we're observing. We can look at the days of unleavened bread and we could say, well, we have the Exodus. Immediately following the Passover and the passing of the death angel, Israel left Egypt. We had the Exodus. And certainly that was a momentous, incredible event that took place. Okay, then we have the congregation of Israel facing the Red Sea, surrounded by obstacles and the army of Pharaoh coming after him. We have the crossing of the Red Sea. Similar to our baptism. That's what the scripture says, similar to baptism, because they went through the sea. The days of unleavened bread are just filled with symbolism. Israel was freed from Egypt. We're freed from sin. Symbolism on these days of unleavened bread. How exciting. Go to the New Testament. We have the personal sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And we look down on the days of unleavened bread. And we want to live our life now sinless the way Christ did. I want to narrow it down even further. To one specific event. One specific event. Matthew 28. Matthew 28. This is exciting. This is very exciting. Jesus Christ was entombed in the grave 3 days and three nights. If he wasn't in the grave 3 days and three nights, he would have been a false prophet. He promised that he would be in the grave 3 days and three nights. We covered this. He had to be resurrected after 72 hours. He was promised to be in the grave. He was prophesied to be in the grave. And he was prophesied to be buried and resurrected after 3 days and three nights. Matthew 28, verse 1. Now, after the Sabbath, the first day of the week began to dawn. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. They were sure they were going to have to do something with the Christ. He was in the tomb. He was dead. He'd been in there 3 days, and they were going to continue to dress him or take care of him. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. There they come. They come. It's not quite dawning yet. Or they're coming right near dawn. And the tomb is open. Christ is up. Just briefly going back, 3 days and three nights. Friday to Sunday doesn't make 3 days and three nights because there was no Sunday night. Notice, Christ is already resurrected before the first day of the week. And an angel was sitting on the stone. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. I can imagine. There's an earthquake. The stone rolls back. The grave is empty, and there's this being sitting on a stone. And the knees go weak, and you lose your water, and you just go, I'm done. Fade away. But the angel answered and said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. Notice what he says. He is not here. For he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb and with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. They show up at the tomb, it's empty. And an angel says, it's all good, because the Christ is risen. The most powerful statement of unleavened bread was spoken. It's a beautiful statement. He is risen. Things have now changed. During these days, we do correctly recall the Exodus and equate it to our own journey. Everyone here has had an Exodus journey. We've been released from bondage, spiritual bondage, from sin, from Satan, small s, his influence over our lives. We still emphasize the eating of unleavened bread, the physical reminder to keep spiritual sin out of our lives. That's correct. But at the core of the celebration of the Passover and the days of unleavened bread is the truth that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Without which, if that didn't happen, all of us have no hope. John 14, verse 18. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. He's encouraging his disciples, saying, there's going to be a difficult time. I've been with you all this time. You could ask me questions. I would be there to help you. I'm going away. But I'm going to ensure you're not an orphan. I'm going to leave you the Comforter. I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me because I live. You will live also. He's going to his death. But because he lives, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will be, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode, make our home, make our dwelling with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but let me try that again. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said. Because I live, you shall live also. Jesus repeatedly focused attention on the importance of his resurrection. Here he's saying you won't be left an orphan. You won't be left spiritually unprotected, vulnerable to Satan. I'm going to give you my Comforter. I'm going to be with you. My Father and I are going to dwell with you. We're going to make our home in you. Can only happen if Jesus Christ is still alive. Jesus will dwell with us via the Holy Spirit, via the power of God. We will live a new life because we've been given new life, because the power of God is in us to live a new and sinless life. Without God's Spirit, we can't overcome sin. It's not possible. 1 Corinthians 5, I have it in parens, but I think I'll just go there. Parens means I'm just supposed to mention it. But since I mentioned it, let's go there. 1 Corinthians 5. Oh, we were already there. Huh. Now I know why it's in parens. I'm just to refer to it. We're to keep the feast not as an old person. Sometimes for me, I need a break and I can't get my head together. And I find that when I wake up in the morning, I have a whole new attitude. It's like I've come out of the water, as it were. I'm a different person. We're to be a different person. We're not to have the old thoughts in our minds. Our old thinking has to be put away. And we are to live with sincerity and truth. You know, the hallmark of every Christian, the evidence, the identifier of a Christian should be living a life of sincerity and truth. We're different today. We sincerely love one another. We sincerely care for one another. It's not a pretense. I saw pretense for 42 years in work. I saw where people were trying to manipulate one another. We're to live in sincerity and truth. We're to be a different person. Galatians 2. Just going to pop you over there. Galatians 2 and verse 20. Paul is explaining how we are, who we are, and our perspective of the world around us has changed because Jesus Christ sacrificed himself. He lived a sinless life. He was condemned and put to death. He died and was resurrected. I have been crucified with Christ. We do this when we go into baptism. We put ourselves under the water, wanting a new life for ourselves, turning our back on our old way. This is what happens when we are baptized. I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. A powerful statement. By accepting the sacrifice of Christ, going through the baptism, all our past sins are forgiven. Because the sacrificial lamb, Jesus Christ, was killed for our benefit. And then we have hands laid on us and we receive the Holy Spirit. We'll cover that on Pentecost. And then Jesus Christ lives in us. This is a whole different time now. We've gone through the Passover. We've gone through and looked at the sacrifice of Christ. We look at unleavened bread as sin and we take it out of our houses. And then spiritually we put sin out of our lives. And then we're to keep it out. Now the only way to keep sin out of our lives is to have Jesus Christ in our lives. Nature hates a vacuum. So do dogs and cats. Never been able to vacuum the house with the dogs around. Something will fill up the space. If you don't put Christ in you, if you don't put the mind of Christ in you, if you're not thinking on these things, Philippians 4:8, think on these things. If Satan, small s, will give you thoughts which will take you away and distract you. There is a vacuum there. And if we want sin out of our lives, we need Jesus Christ in our lives. That happens because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. He was raised from the dead. He promised that because he lives, we now live. Romans 13, verse 11. Romans 13, verse 11. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Sometimes I need a benchmark. Sometimes I need a kick in the pants. There's no better time than now. Some people say, well, oh, Thanksgiving is coming up, so I'll start a diet. You know, it's coming up in 6 weeks, so I guess I'll just wait until after Thanksgiving. 6 weeks? I'll wait until after Thanksgiving. No, it's start now. It is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the work of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lust. The deeds of darkness are identified. Revelry, it's all the self. It's all about the self. It's all the material things. It's all the internal feelings. It's all about us. And we're to come out of sin and be clothed with, put on, become part of, become one with the mind of God and Jesus Christ. And this can take place because Jesus Christ is now living in us. He is now living in us. What is so important about Jesus Christ being raised? During the days of unleavened bread, Jesus Christ was resurrected. It was during these days. And it is that important. It is important to understand that if Jesus Christ sacrificed himself as a sin offering for us and we were baptized, yes, our sins are forgiven at that point. But if he is not raised, we're still in our sins for all the ones that followed. But let's see what happens. Turn over to Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7, verse 20. This came out. This was in the words of the special music song. Talked about it. Hebrews 7, verse 20. I hope I got the right spot. Yes, I'm... Hebrews 7, verse 20. And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath, by him who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. God swore an oath that Jesus Christ would be priest Melchizedek, and he is now our high priest. And something very special has taken place now that he is risen. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. A surety of a better covenant. A guarantee. The earnest of interest. It is going to happen. There is no doubt this is going to happen. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. The priesthood before would change because they would die off. The priest served in the temple from age 30 to age 50. I would have been retired 16 years ago. Sounds good. Except by then, having done sacrifices day after day after day, I think I would look forward to retirement. The priesthood changed because of death, but Jesus Christ, but he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. He always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus Christ died, sacrificed his life for us. His blood was shed so our sins could be forgiven. But now that he lives, he is our intercessor before God. He is at the right hand of God, says, yep, Fred did it again. But he came to me and asked for forgiveness. I am applying the sacrifice I made on his behalf. He is our intercessor. He is alive today. How special that is. Not often do we think about more than the life and death of Jesus Christ during the Passover and unleavened bread. It is so important that he is alive today. It is so important that he is alive today. He is our intercessor. He makes it possible for us to go forward, living a life, making mistakes, and still having that living sacrifice made on our behalf so that we can be forgiven. Well, there's another phrase that comes from the days of unleavened bread. Philippians 3. Want to explore just a little bit? Philippians 3, verse 7. Knowing that Jesus Christ is alive, having said, I live, therefore you can live, is so encouraging. Philippians 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. There's not one of us in this room who hasn't given up something to be in this room. Everyone has given up something. We were willing to sacrifice for the Word of God because we understand what God has done in our lives. Everyone here has counted something lost for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. That's why we can say we're not engaged in pettiness at work, not engaged in the attitudes at work, because all those things are going to go away and they don't represent Christ today. We can give up trying to make ourselves appear great, because ultimately God is the one who will make us great before the world. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, meaning I keep the law, therefore I'm righteous. Stan, how did you know? I think I looked for water and it wasn't there. Excuse me. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, meaning we try and keep the law and it's our own righteousness, but we can't keep the law perfectly. But that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. It is through God, through Christ, through his Holy Spirit, we can keep the law, and it's his righteousness that makes it happen. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Something extraordinary takes place here. If Jesus Christ wasn't resurrected, we won't be resurrected. We won't be resurrected. Here is the promise, the prophecy of Jesus Christ that came to pass. By the power of God, Jesus was raised from the dead. And because Jesus Christ lives, we now have access to eternal life through the power of the resurrection. Through the power of the resurrection. When was Jesus Christ resurrected? During the days of unleavened bread. He became the perfect wave sheaf offering. A sin offering. The perfect wave sheaf offering. You can put Leviticus 23:10 in your notes. I'm not going to go there. It talks about the first fruits. Jesus Christ is the first of many brethren. He is the first fruits. Jesus Christ fulfilled the wave sheaf offering through his death, resurrection, and ascension to God. On the day after the Sabbath, and you'll read that in Leviticus 23:10, on that Sunday, the priest would go out, cut some barley down. He would prepare it in whatever fashion that they do that. Bring it to the temple and then wave it before God. And some of the references are lift it up before God or shake it before God. We don't know. Doesn't matter to me. But he lifted up as Christ was lifted up, elevated, and then resurrected and waved before God. Let's notice John 20. John 20, please. Jesus Christ had died. He was meeting up with Mary. And an event took place, which identifies Jesus the Christ as that wave sheaf offering. John 20, verse 11. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. She didn't comprehend Jesus Christ was there. Have you ever been someplace and someone from work is there and you can't remember the name? Am I the only one? Apparently I am. Okay. It's astounding because they're out of place. There was a manager that I was working with closely at work, and I went to the theater, community theater, and she was there, and I couldn't remember her name, and I'd worked with her. And she looked at me and she says, "I'm out of place, am I?" And then it dawned on me, I remembered where she was. Mary turned around, Jesus Christ was there, but he's not in the right spot. He's not dead and buried in the grave. So she didn't recognize him. Verse 15, Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She supposed him to be the gardener. I didn't suppose Carol was the gardener, but I didn't remember her name. Supposed him to be the gardener and said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say teacher. Her eyes were open. It is the living Christ. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Not yet ascended. Not yet been waved as the wave sheaf offering before God. But it doesn't end. Verse 19, the same day. You can almost see in a movie, fade to black, and now later in time. Then the same day at even, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace be with you." That'll rattle their cage. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus Christ was killed on our behalf. He was resurrected. And then he ascended to heaven and then he returned. The perfect wave sheaf offering. And he lives today. And because he lives, we can live. So what is the power of his resurrection here? Jesus Christ is identified as the Christ because he was resurrected. Romans 1. I'm going to throw you some scriptures real quick here. Romans 1, verse 1. Romans 1, verse 1. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. I mean, his whole life was turned upside down. Which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. If Jesus Christ wasn't raised, if he isn't alive today, then he is not the Christ. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are called of Christ. Among you and I are called of Christ today. By the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, he is identified as the Christ. If it hadn't been for the resurrection, we have no Savior. There would be no captain of our salvation, no anointed one. There wouldn't be a Messiah. We wouldn't have a high priest. How wonderful those words are when Mary went to the tomb and he said, "He is risen." There would be no soon coming king without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If it hadn't happened, he wouldn't be the one. He wouldn't be the anointed one. The power of the resurrection shows very clearly that Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Christ. Acts 13, just a few pages back, or forward, depending on where you were. Acts 13. Let's notice here, as the New Testament church began, they were preaching Jesus is Christ, that he is, was the Messiah. He was the one that came and died for our sins. They were teaching the truth. They were preaching the good news, the gospel message that Christ was Savior and God and part of the plan of salvation. Acts 13, verse 32. "And we declare to you glad tidings, good news, the gospel message, that promise which was made to the fathers, God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second Psalm, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.' And that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption. He has spoken thus, 'I will give you the sure mercies of David.'" Guaranteed promise. Guaranteed promise. "We declare to you glad tidings." That's the word of the gospel, the good news. "And the promises that were made are now fulfilled in Christ. It is through Jesus Christ that we now live. He was raised up from the dead. And because he was raised up, we can be also. Absolute promises were made to David. The resurrection identifies Jesus as the Christ. The sign that Jesus gave of himself signifies that he is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He said he would be raised after 3 days and three nights. He is our mediator. He is our Savior. He is the first fruits for you and me. He is our Redeemer. How many more identifiers come from this point that Jesus Christ was raised? The resurrection points to Jesus as the Messiah. And because he is our Messiah, we now can look to the resurrection as well. Let's back up a little bit further into Romans chapter 5. Or go forward, depending where you are. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Talking about the power of his resurrection. Romans 5, verse 6. "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die." And we know there is sacrifice takes place on a daily basis around the world. "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Massive change in our life. Jesus Christ died for all mankind. He died for you and me. And we recognize that fact at the Passover. His shed blood is for our benefit so that we can have a relationship with God. We can be reconciled back to God the Father through the forgiving blood of Jesus Christ. And then we are saved by his life. We have been forgiven through the death of Christ and we're saved by his life. Jesus Christ paved the way. The power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is proof that God will resurrect us. We will have an opportunity to be in the kingdom of God because we can be forgiven through his death and then saved by his life. He now stands at the right hand of God, intercessor for us, interceding on our behalf because he is now alive. We could be in the kingdom of God because of the resurrection, because Jesus Christ was resurrected during these days of unleavened bread. We have the potential of being in the kingdom of God. Let's go to Acts 4. Acts 4. Pretty much staying right here for now. This part of the Bible. Acts 4. It's very interesting. Exchange that takes place here. Acts 4, verse 1. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them.
Hey, I got a mob here.
Being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already even. See,
one of the illegal parts of the illegal trial of Jesus Christ was it took place at night. You can't do that, especially on a capital offense. And here they put them in custody and they didn't address it because it was already nighttime. They didn't let him go, but put him in custody.
However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. 5,000. What's very interesting here is the Sadducees and the captain of the temple and certain people were upset with the disciples because they were preaching Jesus Christ. And the resurrection from the dead. They were more upset about the teaching of the resurrection of the dead. Jesus Christ was a historical individual. He was there. Most of the people either saw him or heard stories about him. He was a real person. But they were preaching not only the gospel of Christ, the kingdom of God coming. They were preaching the resurrection from the dead. The Sadducees did not believe in a resurrection. They said, nope, forget that. Not going to happen. Not going to do it. It's non-existent. We see at the end of verse 2 that they taught the people and preached Christ and the resurrection from the dead. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because of the power of his resurrection, we can be resurrected. We can be raised as well. From the NIV version, maybe a little clearer, the apostles were saying that because Jesus rose from the dead, people can be raised from the dead. And it completely went against their theological reasoning. The apostles were saying that because Jesus rose from the dead, people can be raised from the dead. And that's what Jesus Christ said all along. I live, therefore you can live. What an awesome idea here during the days of unleavened bread. How powerful it is.
Because of the power of the resurrection of Christ, we can look forward to our resurrection at Christ's return. Kind of throws the idea of living forever or having a soul in us that lives forever kind of into the wash water. Why have a resurrection if you have an eternal soul? Which we don't. We are a living soul. The resurrection. The resurrection was believed by the disciples, and they went around preaching and teaching Jesus Christ and the resurrection. Knowing Christ appeared to them, it was undoubtable proof to them of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The power of his resurrection changes our perspective. It changes our perspective. And that's kind of exciting. There is a measure of confidence and certainty in our life for tomorrow, in our future, through the power of his resurrection. 1 Peter 1, please. 1 Peter 1. First Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We know that this life is not all there is. Can we touch it and feel it? No. But there is a certainty. There is a confidence, knowing that not only this life is not all there is, but there is an eternity beyond that because of the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection makes it obvious that there's no immortal soul. Life doesn't go on forever, but there is hope beyond the grave. There is a hope that goes beyond all that we see. That our fate is not a hopeless fate. We have a living faith. A faith for living a way of life. A hope for living tomorrow. You know, we don't have to focus on this world and let that overwhelm us because we know God is with us. Sometimes the trials we go through are so overwhelming. And woe is us, where do we go? What do we do? And how often it is we go before God and say, I can't handle this. I know tomorrow is a promise. I know that you promised an eternity. I turn this trial over to you to help me go through it. We know God can help us to deal with whatever we go through. Our faith is not hopeless. Our faith is not ineffective. Our faith is not inadequate that somehow we can't meet the challenges. Today we live an unleavened life. Not just during the days of unleavened bread, but going forward through the rest of our lives. We have a different perspective. Because he was resurrected, we have a living hope, not a dead hope. We don't have a wish. Oh, I wish, maybe, possibly, I don't know, it's going to, I don't know how it's possible to make God's kingdom. It's not a wish. We have a living hope, a confirmed assurance from God that we have the resurrection facing us going forward. Let's touch on that just briefly. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15, verse 13. Or 12. I have a page break in my Bible, so let's go to 12. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? There are eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Christ. It wasn't done in a corner. Nobody hid his body and said, he raised.
if there was a fallacy in hiding his body, as some try to say, would you as an individual allow yourself to be put to death for fraud, knowing that Jesus Christ wasn't raised? These men died saying Jesus is the Christ and that he was raised from the dead. They lived it. Now, if Christ has preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? And here comes the major point. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is empty. Yes, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most pitiful. If all we have is today, what a mess. If our sins are still with us, there is no future. Verse 20. But, however, let's take a look. Listen to what follows. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Each one in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. All shall be made alive through Christ. It's an awesome, awesome, awesome overriding core idea of the days of unleavened bread. Without Christ's resurrection, we're still in our sins. And Paul is pointing out here the great hope. It's not a wish. We don't wish for better weather. We don't wish that our sports team would do better. Those are wishes. But we have a solid hope, a sure thing, and an undoubtedly happening, a certainty, something that we can absolutely count on. We have hope because Jesus Christ rose. We have hope to rise from the dead because Jesus Christ was resurrected. Because of the power of his resurrection, we will be resurrected as well. So our faith is not ineffective. We have a living faith. We now live by the word of God. We now live with Christ in us, the way he wants us to live. We celebrate and commemorate Christ's death at the Passover. But if we leave Jesus Christ in the grave, where is our faith? How is it possible to come out of sin and stay out of sin? If Christ is not risen, we're still all dirty and run over by muck. Because we don't have the power to live a sin-free life. We can't live a spiritual life without Christ in us. Galatians 2, verse 20, a repeat, just going back there, final scripture. I told you where I was. Final scripture. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. We did the evaluation process going into the Passover. We looked where we were in our lifetime. We compared ourselves to Jesus Christ. We saw benchmarks. We saw where we needed to change. We saw that we weren't perfect, but we were forgiven through Christ. And we crucified ourselves again, put the old man back into the ground. I am crucified with Christ, but we don't stay in the grave because Christ didn't stay in the grave. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Because Jesus Christ was resurrected, I can live. This season is most profound with messages, with symbolism. I think every year I learn something new. I've been at this, I mentioned now, 52 years. We do think about the death and burial of Jesus Christ at the Passover, that awesome sacrifice. When we go before God and seek His intervention for our ailments and are anointed, we reflect on that sacrifice because it says our sins are forgiven through His shed blood, and our broken bodies, our need for healing is done through His broken body, His sacrifice. We reflect on that. We think about how our sins, the penalty for our sins, are paid by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that selfless act of our Savior. We should also reflect during these days of unleavened bread as we put sin out of our lives and then we walk in newness of life, that Jesus Christ was resurrected. He was the wave sheaf offering and was made so for all mankind. And that resurrection identifies Him as the Messiah. You see, there were some resurrections. Bible shows that. People came back from the dead to continue living a physical life. But Jesus the Christ is the only one who went to glory, living eternally. It identifies Jesus as the Messiah. And because Jesus Christ lives and He lives in us, our sins are forgiven and we can overcome and go forward without sin. And because Jesus Christ was resurrected through the power of the resurrection, it proves that we can and will be resurrected. We can have faith in that. We can have hope in that. We can have trust in that, that that will happen. As the scriptures say quite often, think on these things. Think on these things. I hope this was helpful. And we will see you next week on Friday for the last day of Unleavened Bread.